Standing Up in McKinney. This is According to Callus, coming to you on the 29th of April, the year of our Lord, 2024, episode 628. It's going to be the Monday report. And before we get there, let me remind you, the algorithm is still not your friend and not my friend. So please take the time out, like, share, subscribe, follow this podcast. Join me on the social media of your choice. I have a page and a group over at Facebook. I am a pro at Gab, and I still show up at MeWe. And for now, apparently my program is still available over at YouTube. With that, here we go on with the program. All right. On a Monday report, so we're going to cover, I don't know, three, four different things here. We're going to talk a little bit about the bonds and the bond elections, not to be confused with James Bond, just so we're clear. We're going to talk a little bit more about the Collin County Republican Party mess. We're going to talk a little bit about the runoffs, and we're even going to delve into something that's outside of Collin County, but still Texas, but still runoff. So we're going to cover it all here, folks. Okay, here we go on with the program. All right, so in McKinney, we've got a bond election. My understanding is there are five separate sections here. All right. And I want to take a moment here just to clarify. The challenge is, you know, right of center people, conservatives, however you want to phrase it, we are often lumped in as the naysayers, the big no, against everything. I can't say that I would feel like we haven't earned that. As a matter of fact, I think I'm okay with if we actually had an opportunity to have the integrity to be Dr. No, if you will. I'm not sure that we can count that. Okay. So that being said, we have bond elections that total up to nearly $500 million. Okay. So there's five different bonds that are up for vote. Okay. Now I want to take a moment here, make sure that I get this correct. All right. So yeah, so propositions A through E. So proposition A, and we're going to use round numbers because I find them much easier to work with, is $100 million to enhance and expand the community park system. Now, I like parks as much as anyone else, probably more so since I've actually served on two different county committees dealing with parks. I want to be clear, I don't think that the $100 million is going to be spent on any one project, nor is it going to all be taken out at one time. The idea is they're going to construct a couple of more new parks. They're going to acquire more property for future parks. Well, I could tell you, being that inside of Collin County, to find a single acre of land for less than $100,000 is near impossible, much less find multiple acres that are within city limits in order to build said park. It's going to be mucho expensive. Yes. So that $100 million or 106 spread out over a number of years, I get it. And I want to take a pause here now that I've talked about what is arguably the one that I would be most gracious towards, because it is a park thing here. It needs to be understood that bonds are like taking a mortgage, right? It's taking debt on at the city level in order to build or acquire things that improve the city. That's the goal. That's the point behind it. Now, it is a fair discussion whether or not it is an appropriate amount of money or whether it's going to be directed properly. But to say that you never have to expand or you never have to build anything or never have to improve anything is just foolish. And that's something that we have to be willing to at least understand, that there are times you're going to have to expand, build, and acquire things, whether it's at the county level or the city level. Those are debts that you willingly take on because you're going to get a long-term trade-off. Like you buy a house, you know, back in the day it was $200K, now it's about $500,000 to buy a nice house. And you know you're going to be paying for that for 30 years, but you also assume that 30 years is going to be a long enough time that you're going to get your money's worth back out of it. Or at the very least, the trade-off, i.e. the time in the house, is worth the expense that you're going to be paying out on a monthly basis. All right, so Proposition B is $36 million for the municipal courts. And apparently it's also going to have the administrative offices, because, you know, you got to have those administrators, the courtrooms, the jury meeting spaces, and a city marshal facility, and other spaces to support the court's operations. It's a courthouse. Now, you want to argue whether or not $36 million is appropriate. I get it. I respect it. Fair enough. But let me also ask you to keep in mind that maybe 10 years ago, this would have only been $20 million. Think about what's changed. All right. Proposition C, Public Works South Campus Improvements. They want $30 million for that. And hey, look, it's going to have equipment, materials for water, wastewater, street maintenance, traffic control, street lighting, procurement services, and park maintenance. So it's a whole suite of buildings, if you will, that are going to allow for the city to take care of the properties that they have. Again, if you want to argue about the amount of money, fine. We can have that discussion. But do we need more facilities and better facilities because the other ones are getting old and, you know, require repairs or replacement? I mean, again, that's a fair argument. And I believe when I read it earlier, it was built in the 90s. So it's pushing 30 years old here. All right, $70 million for public safety facilities. Now, the anticipated use is going to be improve and expand the McKinney Public Safety Building on Taylor Burke and get land for future fire stations and improvements for the current fire stations. Okay, I'm pretty sure there's nobody in the city that wants to not give the police and fire department what they need in order to properly function. Now, again, maybe you want to argue that $70 million is too much money or not appropriately spent. Okay, that's fine, but that's not really up for discussion right now. All right, and proposition E. E3, you know. Maybe I was a little dyslexic and read it backwards. But in any case, Proposition E is strictly for street improvements and is the amount of $243.5 million. So there are a lot of roads that need a lot of work. And Justin Beller actually put out a pretty good breakdown and a map of what they're looking at doing. And again, perhaps you want to argue about the amount or the criticalness of certain streets. Okay, that's fine. But the question is, do we need to fix the streets? Yes or no? If we need to fix the streets, then we need to allocate the funds. And if we wish to allocate the funds, we have to do it through a bond because you don't have that kind of money on hand right now. Okay, so now that I've explained what the five bonds are, and look, I'm not excited about any of them, except for maybe the parks. Well, and to be honest, I'm going to vote for the streets anyway because the streets absolutely need to be updated and replaced, you know, intermittently. That's part of the program. So here's really what you're dealing with. You're dealing with nearly $500 million worth of debt that the city is going to take on over a period of time in order to enhance, improve, replace, and expand facilities as well as properties. Now, when we had, you know, 50,000 people, we would all be quite upset about this amount of money. But we've got a 250,000 people, nearly, and we're not going to stop growing anytime soon. So we need to be prepared. We need to make these investments while we still can, is the argument. And I think it's a valid argument and a good argument. But also keep in mind, just because we're giving permission for them to borrow $500 million at this time of money, or at this $500 million at this time, doesn't mean they're going to use all that money, right? It's just giving them permission to go do these things as time permits. Now, if you're adamantly opposed to the amount or how they're going to spend this money, the opportunity to serve on the bond board has long since passed. Now, I'll be honest, I think a lot of times they do this stuff under the radar because they don't want naysayers and Dr. No's on the bond boards. I get it. You know, the city's got a vested interest in doing what they think is best for the city, right? The city leadership, you will. But they also need to have people, normal people, the taxpayers there for representation to ask the questions. Are we getting a fair trade-off? Is this what we really want for this cost? Does this expense have a justification that we can live with? I think that's probably the best question to ask. It's not whether or not that we should take on debt in order to do certain things. It's whether or not we should take that amount of debt to do these certain projects, right? There are people that are going to always vote no. There are, and I get it. And my initial answer to a lot of things would be, well, no, I don't want to take on more debt without knowing what I'm spending it on or what I'm getting in return. Likewise, when you go buy a car, very few people have what in these days you're going to need $60,000 to go buy a new car. Very few people have $60,000 cash that they could put down to buy a new car. They're almost always going to have to take a loan. And some of the loans now are going out 7 years. 7 years to pay off a car that most cars really tap out at about 10-year mark, right? And most people don't even hold on to their car for that full 7 years. But a city, when they're making an investment for roads and improvements, the typical lifespan is supposed to be about 30 years. So you have to ask yourself, are you going to be around in the city of McKinney for another 30 years? And are you going to benefit from what is being built or acquired for the city? And do you think that's a fair trade? Then you go make the decision whether or not you're going to support those bonds. Again, the knee-jerk answer is, for right of center is usually no. But again, think about it. Is this a worthwhile expense? Do I accept this cost in order to have a nice city or an upkept city? I think that's a fair question. I can't tell you how to vote, but I will tell you that I think at least two of these are worthy of the big vote yes. The other three, I'm leaning in favor of them only because I can see where you're going to have to do it sooner or later, and I'd rather make it the moves now while money is not as inflationary as it's going to become. It's never going to undo its inflation unless we go to deflation. Boy, if we go to deflation, we're going to be in a whole nother world of hurt. Okay, enough on bonds. I've taken up 10 minutes on this. I'm pretty sure most of my listeners are about ready to move on. So here we go. On beyond the bonds. So, there's been the McKinney, not the McKinney, I'm sorry. We've transitioned, Stephen, wake up. There's been the ongoing drama with the Collin County Republican Party. Now, I don't know that we're going to fix the drama in the election cycle this go around, whether Shelby wins the runoff, which quite frankly, I expect that to happen. And that would be best, in my opinion, for the county party, for Shelby Williams to be elected. In the event that he does not, we still have to work together. We still have to focus on winning the November elections and getting a plan going forward. The challenge is there's a certain percentage of folks that just aren't willing to work with anything if they don't get exactly what they want and everything that they want and nobody questions them. Now, excuse me, but that's not the way it works. That's not the way it's supposed to work. And it's very disappointing that some of the people that really ought to know better have such a myopic view of looking at things. It does no good to be a 100% pure, perfect conservative candidate if you can't win the election. And that seems to be lost on everybody all the time in this group. And it's just disappointing. I expect better. I wanted better. And, look, the runoff begins May 20th and it's all over on May 28th. Now, a good number of my listeners will probably be down in San Antonio during that time. So I'd encourage you, please go vote on Election Day. Don't miss your opportunity. That being said, there are a number of candidates worthy of discussion. Now, in Collin County, the Collin County Patriots PAC has put together this thoughtful door hanger, of which, as a good precinct chair, I'm going to be putting some of these out. They have decided that for the U.S. Representative in District 32, Daryl Day is the choice candidate. I have no opinion on that matter. This is Collin County's Patriots PAC that has decided this. I don't necessarily disagree. I just don't know enough about it that I would make it my endorsement. So it is their endorsement. For the State Board of Education, they've endorsed Jamie Coleman, and I will second that. I've already endorsed her. No, nothing to be said there. State Senator District 30, also on a runoff. We've got J.C. Arbrough endorsed by Collin County Patriots, and I will second that as well. State Representative District 33, we've got Katrina Pearson. Collin County Patriots has endorsed her. I don't know enough about that race other than that I'm not a fan of Justin Holland. So for that purpose, I would encourage anybody that's listening to me that lives in District 33, go vote for Katrina Pearson. Then we've got the District Judge, 401st Court. We've got Kim Lassiter or Joel Petruzio. Now, I've talked to Joel, twice about doing an interview. We haven't been able to make that work. I don't know if I'm going to be able to make that work beforehand. I will just say, from what I understand, and I've talked to multiple people, both of these people are more than qualified to take on the judge's position. And I don't have a strong opinion one way or the other, and neither does the Collin County Patriots PAC. As for the county chairman, the Collin County Patriots agrees with me. And keep in mind, I was not at any of their vetting committees. I did not take part of this. This is something I sat out, if you will. But they also believe that Shelby Williams is the correct person to be running the county party. They also would like for all my listeners to know that they support Carissa Richardson. And I have said this multiple times, and I have kind of been riding the fence on this one for a long time. And now that we're to the runoff, I will say that I hold fast to the idea that I still personally like Frederick Frazier. I think he's made some errors. I think some of them are overblown. But at this point, I can't endorse him any further. I've said that. I'm perfectly okay if he wins because, quite frankly, he's the incumbent. Incumbents win. I don't have to like it, but that's just the way it is. This is the same problem we're going to have in House District 33, right? At the end of the day, I think we're going to get a more transparent and hopefully relatable person out of Carissa Richardson for the voters of HD 61. That's what she's campaigning on. That's what her supporters tell me. I like the lady. I had a nice interview with her. I have high hopes that we're going to get, you know, things more akin to what we want in HD 61 if she's successful. So there you go. I guess technically that is my endorsement, HD 61. And again, I'm not going to lose sleep over it either way. And I'm not going to lose sleep over any of these races, quite frankly. Because at the end of the day, a bad Republican is still better than a Democrat any day. And when I say bad Republican, I just mean not my flavor of Republican. How about that? Or in this case, not the Collin County Patriots flavor of Republican. But I refuse to flame the other candidates. I refuse to talk smack about them. I did talk a little smack about the guy in 67, but everything I said, I thought he deserved. I could say some more about Justin Holland, but for what? Very little of HD 33 is in Collin County still. And I'm pretty sure between the governor and everybody else getting involved in that race, he's going to be retired, and he deserves it, in my opinion. All right. So I covered bonds. I covered Collin County runoffs and the party nonsense. So I want to take a pause here and revisit the county party situation for one more moment. There's been a lot of drama. There's been a lot of back and forth. I've been trying to work with grace. I've been trying to give the benefit of the doubt. I've been trying to stick to the idea that all these folks are actually still solid Republicans. They just are misguided, misinformed, immature, however you want to phrase it, that they want the same or similar things that I do, that we're all on the same book at least. I got to tell you, after the last month or so, I'm not sure that that's the case any longer. No matter what your feelings are, the county chairman is a key and pivotal role. And I don't believe that a good number of the supporters of Shelby's opponent are being honest with us or themselves. I think that they see that as the easier chairman to bully, the easier chairman to push around, the one that's more likely to agree with what they want to do and give them everything that they want. My frustration is we gave a good number of the folks what they said they wanted this time. And they have a municipal races. They've decided to endorse in 11 of those races. So while we're talking about municipal races, let me also state, to my knowledge, Collin County does not have any municipal races currently scheduled in McKinney other than the bond. There are races in Frisco, Allen, and I think Wiley, and a couple other smaller towns that I can't think of off the top of my head. The reason why I bring this up, the very committee that's made the determination of what the right candidate is to endorse, it is my thought that if they get a losing record on this one as well, that committee needs to be reformed or reconfigured or rethought or perhaps something else. I have no faith in what they're doing any longer. Now, even if they knock it out of the ballpark, they still have a long way to go to overcome the losing record of the two last election cycles. And I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful that maybe we could turn the corner. Maybe they were a little wiser, a little more strategy was employed here. But I'm not confident. When you're dealing with politics, you're always dealing with ego and power struggles. And I always came from the point of view and the way that I was trained up is that when somebody wants power or control that bad, they're absolutely the last person that you want to have that position of authority and power. The opposite is also true. If somebody keeps feigning that they don't want the authority, they don't want the power, and they make a big show and spectacle of it, well, honestly, that makes me not trust that either. I spent a lot of my time saying, look, I don't have to be in control. I don't necessarily need the authority, but if you're going to give it to me, I need to be able to do certain things. I need to be able to accomplish certain things. And if all I'm going to do is keep beating my head against the wall to accomplish certain things in a committee or in a group, that's not something that interests me. And when you hamstring an organization by shoving everything into a committee and making everything a committee discussion and argument and run it out to its bitter end, that defeats the purpose of having an organization in the first place. Yes, you need to have committees to come up with strategies and come up with what's the right idea and what's the best way to approach things. But when the committee makes the decision and it's approved, then you need somebody to actually take action and get it done. The committee's done its job. The committee's set the course. Now you need to have executives come in and take charge and do things. You've been given your directive. Much like a large corporation, they don't run things by the board of directors. They have a president or a CEO or a COO. They come in and make those things happen as they were directed by the board. If you have to run every little thing by a committee or by a board, nothing ever gets done. Or if it does get done, it's behind and it's not done well. And you see that play out and quite frankly, a lot of political organizations. Now, the flip side of this is I don't want a completely top-down run organization. I don't want to have a dictatorship of one person or three people coming in and running roughshod over everybody else. But I want people that, when given the authority and the direction, actually move to get things done. We're not there. I don't know that we're going to get there under the current situation. Be interesting to see how it plays out. Like I said, I'm hopeful. I am hopeful. All right. So I've covered the McKinney bonds, the municipal elections, the Collin County Party stuff, the runoffs. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I actually got done much faster with the rest of that than I anticipated. So let me just impart you something that I think might be useful. We talk about this from time to time. I know I've mentioned it in previous podcasts. Are you willing to put aside your preference for the greater principle? Now, I don't want you to set aside principles you hold dear. I don't want you to not have any principles, but I want you to be willing to understand that some things are preference and other things are principle. It is my preference that we get the most conservative or the most liberty-orientated people elected to office, but the principle is you get the best person elected to that office. Likewise, it would be my preference that we have the strongest, most liberty-loving individual in charge of the county party. But the principle is you must have the best person that's capable of running the party in charge of the party. Now, there's going to be some significant overlap in theory with both of those, but you don't sacrifice the principle, the best person, for the preference, somebody more aligned with you personally. The same can be said in every election ever. The same could be said for every position that you run across. You have to be willing to put aside your preference for the principal, the best person to be in charge, the best person to take lead, the best person to be elected, however you want to phrase it. Now, your preferences should be factored into the principal, the best person. So that's what we're dealing with. We have to be certain that we're not letting our preferences cloud the principal. And I think the same could be said about bonds, right? Yeah, nobody wants more debt. Nobody wants to just take on debt willy-nilly. But if you're not willing to look at and say, well, the preference would be we don't have any more debt, but the principle is we want to maintain the city. We want to stay on top of things. We want to make sure we have good things to keep the city in a positive light and continue to grow at an appropriate rate. What do we need to spend in order to accomplish that? That is an investment in your future. And with that, this has been According to Callus, and I will see you on the other side.